Mike Tomalaris joins us from the Down Under. We were celebrating Richie Port's terrific victory,
the big guy,
two-time runner-up in the last 2 years, but Richie Port has got himself home in the Tour Down Under. G'day, Mike.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. He's talking himself up, and rightly so. He's talking himself up looking ahead to July as a result of what he's done over the last 7 days. And July, of course, is when the Tour de France takes place. And he said yesterday that he reckons he can beat Chris Froome, the guy that's won the Tour de France 3 times in his career. Richie yet to win that big race in France, but he's brimming with confidence, isn't he, as a result of what's happened over the last 7 days?
Absolutely. He 48 seconds, he beat Colombian Esteban Chavez by, or he took a lead in, and look, he was never troubled, was he?
Well, still, look, it's the biggest winning margin for quite a long time. In fact, one of the biggest since the Tour Down Under started in 1999. And as I said to you last week, Richie Port was meticulous in his preparation. This was one that he wanted to tick off his bucket list, and he's done that. He was head and shoulders above everybody. He blew his rivals away on that climb up Alba-Longa Hill on Saturday, the decisive climb. Just looks lean, he looked mean, and he had a great team around him in BMC. So everything, it just points so well for Richie Port looking ahead to 2017.
And this is coming off his Rio Olympics, where he busted up his collarbone, he crashed. He's had a big off-season, obviously, getting himself fit and strong, but you know, there's a few mental scars in there that take a little bit of time to get over.
Well, and also, don't forget, he punctured at the Tour de France last year and lost 2 minutes, and that was another disaster from 2016. But look, there were only two winners over the six-day racing. Caleb Ewan dominated in the sprints, and Richie Port dominated in the climbs. And what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that really only two teams came to the Tour Down Under fully prepared. I think this race, it's just far too early for some of those riders that come down and some of those teams that come down from North America and Europe. There's a lot of talk about moving this event from the middle of January to February. But the Tour Down Under, the South Australia events and government won't hear of it because it's the perfect time of year for spectators, for holiday makers, school holidays, etc. And that's exactly what we saw. There were tens of thousands of people on Alba-Longa Hill lining that hill. A lot of them were from interstate, and if they moved it to February, well, it would probably kill the race in terms of spectators.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But there's a lot of far pressure from the UCI, cycling governing body.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think it's a perfect time of year. Gets good coverage.
Take nothing away. Take nothing away from Caleb. Take nothing away from Richie Port. It is what it is. You're exactly right. And people are asking, well, Caleb was pretty good, wasn't he, over the last 6 or 7 days? He was. I mean, but the thing is, there was no Andre Greipel. There was no Marcel Kittel, Mark Cavendish. They are regarded as the best sprinters in the world. And Caleb is looming as one of the best as well, given his successes. And you can only win against those that are there. Peter Sagan was there, and he is just down on form as well, even though he came second on two or three occasions behind Caleb Ewan in the sprint. Yeah. I don't want to be critical, but you know, at this time of the year, it's very hard to ask these professional cyclists to have to follow a calendar which takes in 9 months of the year to back up after a festive Christmas season. It's pretty tough going.
No, I think the organisers have actually got it right.
I think you're right.
Yeah, watching the coverage, the crowds have been fantastic. And, you know, Peter Sagan just, you don't expect your first round of the year in any code to be one of your best. So I think they're just sort of warming up. They've got a very, very long year and plenty of hard hills to climb in that. Peter Sagan, quite clearly, you know, he's got a long season ahead of him, but Caleb Ewan still pushing, hopefully, for a Tour de France spot.
Yeah, and you know what? Peter Sagan was fantastic. The marquee rider, whether or not he was being paid to be here, well, good luck to him if he was.
Doesn't matter.
He just did everything right. He pulled a crowd, that's for sure. They love him, and he's got so much charisma and personality. Sure, he didn't win a stage, but I tell you what, he won a lot of hearts and a lot of admiration from the spectators that were there. It's a great idea, I think, to bring a marquee rider out. He's never been here before, at the Tour Down Under, that is, and he did everything right. And congratulations to the organisation. And it's good to see that you guys watched the racing, because the coverage It really showcases South Australia, and that's exactly what cycling does, whether it's in France or in Australia.
Well, it certainly does. You get to around the countryside. Where to now for these guys?
Well, Caleb Ewan will line up for the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race on Sunday, and that is a big race now. It's on the World Tour. It's a one-day event compared to a six-day race on the Tour Down Under. Europe, the first one.
Just a dodgy line there with Mike. He's just gone into a bad area. So what we will do is thank Mike for his reports from the Tour Down Under. They've been fantastic. Richie Porte winning. So it's good to see one of the favourites get up. He started at tab.com.au. He started the event a $2.50 favourite. He certainly justified that price for the early shoppers. And well done to Caleb Ewan, who actually won four sprint stages there. And then Richie Porte won the other couple. Mike Tomalaris giving us his thoughts